Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Varang Deva Mokshang Namokshavadhingva. Nachanyam Vrneham Varishadapiha. Idang te vapurnata gopala balam sadame manasya virastam kimanyai. This is the fourth verse of the Dhammadarashtaka.
Idi Dhammadarashtakam loni nalugava shlokam.
In which the devotee is praying for a boon.
Dillo oka bhaktudu oka korika korabothu.
When we approach a superior person,
ipudey manam oka goppa vyaktini kalustam,
we expect them to show their mercy.
Manam em aashistam ante vaalla yokka krupane aashistam.
We offer something to Krishna. Patram pushpam palam toyam, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, if you offer me with love a fruit, flower, leaf or water, I will accept it.
Krishna cheptunnadu Bhagavad Gita lo emitani oka pandu ledha poo ledha neellu edaina prema tho isthe teeskuntanu ani cheptunnadu.
So why doesn't Krishna say if you offer me gold and jewels and so many things, I will accept it?
Endukani Krishnadu ee vidhanga cheppaledu bangaram ledha vendi itundi isthina kuda nenu teeskuntanu ani.
To Krishna, gold and jewels and flowers, it doesn't make any difference.
Krishnudiki ee bangaram gaani ledha vendi gaani ivanni pedda vyathyasam emi anipinchu.
In Bhagavad Gita twice Krishna mentions samaloshtashma kanchanaha. A self-realized person, he sees gold, stone and pebbles as the same.
Krishnudu Bhagavad Gita lo rendu saarlu cheppadu emitante బంగారం లేదా ఒక రాయి ఇటువంటి ఎవరైతే పండితుడు ఉంటాడో అతను సమానంగా చూస్తాడు వీటిని.
సో కృష్ణ ఇస్ ది సుప్రీమ్ సెల్ఫ్ రియలైజ్డ్ పర్సన్.
కృష్ణుడు అందరికంటే సాక్షాత్కారం పొందినవాడు.
Furthermore, everything comes from Krishna and he is the owner of everything. So what can we offer to Krishna? Everything already belongs to Krishna. So whether we offer him flowers and fruit or gold and jewels, it doesn't make any difference to Krishna. It all belongs to him anyway.
Krishnudiki manam bangaram vendi leda poolu evichina kuda pedda vyathyasam em Krishnudiki ledu.
But Krishna, he specifies, Yome Bhaktya Prayachati. Who offers me with love, I accept that, with bhakti. So Krishna is eager to accept our love. But really, we have to get something from Krishna. If we offer Krishna a benediction, that's not very suitable. In the first demons that were ever born, they were Madhu and Kaitava.
Madhu Kaitava evaru mottamodati puttina rakshasulu.
And Krishna was fighting with them. Krishna became satisfied by their fighting spirit. And Krishna offered them a benediction. But they were so fools, they thought themselves more powerful than Vishnu, and they said, we don't want to take any benediction from you. We'll give you a benediction. You want a benediction? You can take it from us.
వాళ్ళు చాలా క్రమంతో ఉన్నారు. వాళ్ళు ఏమంటున్నారు, మే నీ దగ్గర నుంచి కృష్ణుడు అడిగినప్పుడు మీ దగ్గర నుంచి నాకే అవసరం లేదు, మే నీకు బాగా కోరుకోమని చెప్పారు.
సో వీ షుడ్ నో ద రైట్ మర్యాద, హూ వీ షుడ్ బౌ డౌన్ టు అండ్ హూ వీ షుడ్ ఆఫర్ బెనిడిక్షన్ టు.
కాబట్టి మనకి మర్యాద అనేది తెలియాలి, ఎవరికి గౌరవించాలి, ఎవరికి దేవత ఎలా ఉండాలని.
So here the devotee is praying, O Lord, please give me a benediction. When we approach the Supreme Lord, we should ask for something. It's proper when we go before Him to ask for something. It's not wrong to ask something from Him. He's not inconvenienced by doing so. He becomes very pleased by giving benedictions. Because He is Varadaraja, that temple is there in Kanchi, Varadaraja temple. The king of the givers of benedictions. And here in this verse, the name is also given Varesha.
It means
the same thing. The Lord of boons, or the best giver of boons. So he likes to give. It's not that, oh no, I have to give. Now my stock will be depleted. I'll run away and hide my money. He's not like that. People who are wealthy and who are not miserly, they take pleasure in philanthropy. Sometimes the Jains, who are often very rich people, like diamond merchants or something like that, they become renounced. Then at that time they'll go in the street in a vahan, in a chariot, and throw diamonds here and there. So people like to be known as philanthropic. Generally we see when someone becomes rich, they get money, they get prestige, they get a big house and facility for sense gratification. But then they want to become a philanthropist and get a good reputation also as being a good person who benefits the society. So Krishna is the greatest philanthropist. He's always willing to give people what they come to beg from Him. Actually, he's not very happy to give material benedictions. Therefore, he has the demigods. They particularly give material benedictions. Kangshanta karmanam siddhim yajanta iha devataha kshipram hi Manushayloke siddhin bhavati karamaja. People desire material benedictions and therefore they approach demigods. Particularly in this verse it said they want to their activities to become fulfilled. Therefore they in this world people worship demigods. And very quickly they get their desires fulfilled by the demigods. But Krishna, yeah, he also directly fulfills people's material desires. But pure bhakti, he only gives to people who are really eligible for that. Muktim dadati karhichit nasma bhakti yogam. Even mukti he'll give more easily than bhakti.
Mukti chala paraga istaru bhakti kante
kuda. Why that is so, we have some intimation from the verses of Damodarashtakam previous to this. Because Krishna comes under the control of his devotees. So he's not going to come under the control of someone who does not have his best Krishna's best interest at heart. Krishna is not going to become the lackey of some materialist. So here the devotee is praying, praise Deva. Oh, Deva is generally understood to mean God. I guess the word in Telugu is Deva. It literally means an effulgent person. But by usage, contextually, it means a respectable person, a godly person, a worshipable person. Or it just means God. Here in his commentary, Sanatana Goswami says that Deva, apart from meaning effulgent one, it also means, in this, it implies one who is engaged in super excellent sweet spots. So the devotee is praying to fulfill. Please fulfill my desire. Everyone has a desire. What do you desire? If we look in our hearts, we'll find we have so many desires. So just look and see, what do you want? Dhanam janam sundarim kavitam va jagadishakamaye. What does this prayer mean? You're saying I don't aspire, but I said dhanam janam. I didn't say na. I didn't put, so it means I desire wealth, dhanam, janam, beautiful women, followers, all kinds of things for sense gratification. This is how most people are praying. Dhanam, janam, sundarim, kavitam, va, jagadisha, kamaye. And kavitam, that means all kinds of everything else. Intellectual, it means this anyabhilash, all kinds of other things, karma, jnana, all what can be had by this. So Krishna can give whatever you like. Nowadays in India they have these stores like Big Bazaar. So you can get anything you like. You walk in the store and say, I want 2 elephants and 1 camel. Well, maybe they don't sell elephants and camels, but for day-to-day things, you can get whatever you like. So, Krishna's like that. Actually, the word for a shop that sells everything is an emporium. Emporium. Yeah, it means it. All in one-stop shop. Sells all kinds of things. So you can get anything you like from Krishna. And people come to him with many desires. Actually, it's pretty stereotyped. At Tirupati, if you ask people what they've come for, it's passing exams. Then solving financial problems. It's pretty stereotyped. Not many people are very imaginative. For visas to America, they don't go to Tirupati. They go more to Chennai, to the Visa Ganesh. There's the temple of Visa Ganesh. If you praise to him, he gives you a visa. But I guess Visa Ganesh is not so popular these days. American visas, not so popular like they were even 3 years ago. Now it's just gone down. Anyway, Balaji is there. Okay, pass your exam. Okay, yeah, all right. You can have a pay rise. Balaji is getting bored with all these people coming. So if someone goes to Balaji and prays, Nadhanam Naja, Balaji becomes ecstatic. Oh, devotee at last. Of course, you don't get time in front of Balaji to say. You can say one syllable, that's all. Na dhanam. You know, just say na, and then you're already out. So, you can go and pray to Radha Govinda in Tirupati, and you can pray all your prayers as much as you like without being thrown out. Or anywhere, sitting here, we can pray to Krishna also. That's what we're doing, isn't it? So what's the prayer? Varam Deva. Yes, I want something.
Varam Deva,
so what do you want? Well, what are the things you could want? Visa, you have like a shopping list. Visa, cure my backache, then my enemy in the office, make sure that they get thrown out of the job, like this. So a devotee here starts off at a much higher level. He says, moksha, varam deva moksha.
ఇక్కడ భక్తుడు మోక్షం గురించి మాట్లాడుతున్నాడు.
Oh, that's a very high desire.
అది కూడా చాలా ఉన్నతమైనది.
That's more than what most people ask for.
అది జన సాధారణ జనం అడిగే దానికంటే చాలా ఉన్నతమైనది.
But then he says, moksham na, I don't want that. What does that mean? You want to remain in the material world? I don't want moksha. Actually, if we speak of moksha, that means that we've understood that this material world is miserable. Because if we're thinking this material world is nice, we won't think of getting released from it. You don't even think, when you're enjoying something, you don't think, well, someone please relieve me from this. Relief is from suffering.
ఎప్పుడైతే మీరు ఏదో ఒక వస్తువుని కానీ ఒక ప్రదేశంలో ఒక ఆనందాన్ని పొందుతున్నారు అనుకుంటే మీరు ఆలోచించారు దాని నుంచి బయటపడిపోవాలి. ఎప్పుడైతే కష్టాలు ఉంటాయి కష్టాల నుంచి బయటకు రావాలని కోరుకుంటాం.
You don't think having such a so happy and enjoying myself and I wish someone would stop this all for me. The two thoughts just don't go together.
నేను చాలా ఆనందంగా ఉన్నాను ఎవరైనా వచ్చి నా ఆనందం నుంచి బయటకు తీసేయండి అని మనం ఎప్పుడు అనుకుంటాం ఎందుకంటే ఈ రెండు ఆలోచనలని రెండు భిన్నమే.
So even to appreciate the concept of moksha, one has to have appreciation that material life is simply suffering. So devotees, they're not interested in moksha. Now he prays also, moksha avadhim. I don't want even moksha avadhi. Avadhi means the ultimate limit of moksha.
Avadhi ante moksha yaka.
Avadhi means the ultimate limit, and moksha avadhi means the ultimate limit of moksha.
Avadhi ante moksha yaka purti avadhi.
Avadhi, you're saying Telugu also? It's a common word? Not very common, but understood. Okay. So that so what is that? That means moksha or mukti to Vaikuntha.
Moksha mukti ante Vaikuntha.
That means you get freed from this material world and you go to Vaikuntha. So that sounds all right, huh? That's acceptable for Vaishnavas. Devotees, they don't pray for moksha, but they're prepared to accept mukti for the sake of serving the Lord in Vaikuntha. There's that verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. What is that? You don't have your computer here, huh? Samipya sarshti salokya sarup yadvam apyuta diyamanam nagrinanti vinamat sevanam jana. I got it, luckily. More or less. That the different kinds of mukti, Kapila Dev says, they are salokyam, living on the same planet as the Lord.
ఇక్కడ కపిలదేవుడు చెప్తున్నాడు ముక్తి ఎన్ని రకాలు అనేది. ఒకటి సారూప్యం, అదే ప్రపంచం అదే లోకంలో ఉండడం భగవంతుడు.
సారూప్యం విచ్ మీన్స్ హావింగ్ ఎ ఫార్మ్ సిమిలర్ టు ద లార్డ్.
సారూప్యం అంటే భగవంతుడి యొక్క రూపంలోనే మనం కూడా ఉండడం.
సామీప్యం బీయింగ్ లివింగ్ ఇన్ ద విసినిటీ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్.
సామీప్యం అంటే భగవంతుడి దగ్గరలో ఉండడం.
సార్ష్టి అటైనింగ్ సిమిలర్ ఆప్యులెన్స్ టు ద లార్డ్.
సార్ష్టి అంటే
and Kaivalyam merging into the effulgence of the body of the Lord. So Kapila Dev says that even if these kinds of mukti are offered to my devotees, They do not accept them unless they have the opportunity to serve me.
ఇటువంటి ముక్తి నా భక్తులు కోరుకోరు. ఎప్పుడంటే ఎప్పుడైతే వాళ్ళకి సేవ లభిస్తుంది అప్పుడే ఇటువంటి ఆయన కోరుతారు, కానీ అప్పటి వరకు సేవ లభించడం కొరకు ఎటువంటి ముక్తి కూడా కోరు.
So devotees are ready to accept mukti for the sake of service to Krishna.
కనుక భక్తులు ముక్తిని ఎప్పుడు అంగీకరిస్తారంటే కేవలం కృష్ణుని సేవించిన కోసమే అంగీకరిస్తారు.
But in Vrindavan there's no thought of moksha.
కానీ వృందావనంలో వాళ్ళకి మోక్ష గురించి ఆలోచన లేదు.
We don't find that Mother Yashoda is praying for moksha.
మనం చూడం యశోదా మాత మోక్షం కోసం ప్రార్థించడం.
No one in Vrindavan is praying for moksha.
వృందావనంలో ఎవరు కూడా ప్రార్థించరు.
So Krishna's Vrindavan Leela, that's beyond even the thought of even the thought of going to Vaikuntha is not included in that.
Vaikunthaniki velladam yokka koyin kuda leela akada vaadu.
So the prayer goes on, nachanyam, whatever else is, you can offer anything, Varisha, Krishna, you can give anything, but I'm not interested. So this sounds very strange. You come before someone and say, oh, you're a very munificent philanthropist. I've come before you. And I don't want mukti. I don't want to go to Vaikuntha. I don't want anything else. No dhanam, no janam, no sundarim. Well, you ask me for a benediction, then what else is there left to give? You just mentioned everything, then what can I give you? So, he stresses that I simply want to see within my mind, that let may this vision always be present in my mind of your enchanting pastimes as Bala Gopal, boy baby Krishna. I have no use for anything else. You can imagine the yogis that are doing severe austerities over huge periods of time, and then maybe, okay, you can have moksha. But the devotee, they're offered moksha. No, for them it has a bad smell. The very word moksha makes it sounds like someone farted or smells like that. Like some dog stool or something like this. Kuku, you say in Telugu? Kuku, the dog? Kuta. Kuka. So this moksha, this idea of moksha, this devotees who are real devotees, they have a healthy distaste for the thought of moksha. It may seem strange that people who are spiritually minded, they don't like the idea of moksha. But this idea of moksha, that spoils bhakti. We find at the beginning of Bhagavatam, dharma prochita kaitava atra. Here in the Bhagavatam, the cheating religion is totally rejected.
భాగవతంలో చూసినట్లయితే ఇక్కడ మొదటి శ్లోకంలో మనకి చెప్పబడింది ఏదైతే కైటవ ధర్మం అంటే మనల్ని మోసం చేయకపోయిన ధర్మం ఏదైతే ఉందో అది మొత్తం.
సో వాట్ ఇస్ దట్ కైటవ ధర్మ? చీటింగ్ రిలీజియన్.
మరి ఆ మోసపూరితమైన ధర్మం ఏమిటి?
దట్ ఈస్ ధర్మ అర్థ కామ మోక్ష. The religiosity, economic development, sense gratification and liberation.
Dharma ardha ante dhanam, kama ante koriku, moksham ante mukti pondu.
Now this is amazing because all the rest of the Vedic literature is concerned with dharma, artha, kama and moksha.
Migitha anni vedalalo kodanu ee dharma, artha, kama, moksha lu gurinche undi.
But in the Bhagavatam it's rejected. Because these desires for these are obstructions to bhakti. This is described in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. There it is stated, Tarmadhe mokha vancha kaitava pradhan jaha hoite krishna bhakti hoy antardhan. It's stated that among the four so-called purusharthas, which are all cheating religion, the worst is the desire for moksha.
నాలుగు ధర్మాల్లో ఏదైతే మోసపూరితమైనవి ఉన్నాయో వాటిలో అన్నిటికంటే తుచ్చమైనది మోక్షం కోసం ప్రాబ్లం.
Because the desire for moksha completely destroys or causes bhakti to vanish.
ఎప్పుడైతే మోక్షం కోసం కోరిక అనేది మొదలవుతుందో అప్పుడు భక్తి పూర్తిగా కూడా నాశనమయ్యే అవకాశం.
So you have to be very careful of these rascals and demons who pose as devotees but who are actually mayavadis.
అని చాలా మంది ఈ పరిగ్రహణి మూఢులు పెద్ద రాక్షసులు ఉన్నారు. వాళ్ళు ఏంటంటే వాళ్ళు మాయావాదులు.
There are many of them. They'll sing songs about Krishna and they'll talk how nice is Krishna, how sweet is Krishna. But their actual philosophy is that they don't believe in any person Krishna and they themselves want to become God.
వాళ్ళు ఏ కృష్ణుడు అనే వ్యక్తి మీద వాళ్ళకి ఏం నమ్మకం లేదు. వాళ్ళే భగవంతుడు కావాలనుకుని కృష్ణుడు కావాలనుకుంటారు.
సో బి వెరీ కేర్ఫుల్.
కనుక చాలా చాలా జాగ్రత్తగా ఉన్నాడు.
ఎనీవన్ హూ హస్ ఎనీ సింపతి ఫర్ మాయావాద్ ఇస్ అ ట్రైటర్.
మీకు వీళ్ళు ఎవరికైనా మాయావాదుల పట్ల జాలి ఉంటే వాళ్ళు పెద్ద ఎందుకు పనికిరాయమాట.
దే ప్రిటెండింగ్ దట్ దే ఆర్ పార్ట్ ఆఫ్ అవర్ టీమ్ but actually they're secret agents for the demons.
వాళ్ళు మనలో ఒకరుగా ఉంటున్నారు కానీ నిజానికి వాళ్ళు రాక్షసులకు సంబంధించిన వాళ్ళు.
They're very dangerous.
చాలా చాలా భయంకరమైన.
So we completely kick, just as the Bhagavatam completely kicks out the desire for moksha, so the devotee must kick that desire out from his heart.
ఏ విధంగా భాగవతం మోక్షం గురించి పూర్తిగా తీసివేసిందో అక్కడ కోరిక నేను ఉండకూడదని చెప్పింది. అదే విధంగా ఒక భక్తుడు కూడా ఈ మాయావాదు పట్ల కూడా అదే విధంగా ప్రవర్తిస్తాడు.
Now when he states nachanyam, I don't want anything else,
ఎప్పుడైతే ఇక్కడ నాకు ఏమీ అవసరం లేదని చెప్తారో,
Sanatan Goswami in his commentary says that this includes Navavidha Bhakti, the nine kinds of devotional service.
Sanatana Goswami tane ka bhashana lo cheptunnaru deentlo tumindi vidhala tumindi angalu unnai bhaktulu avi indulo vastayi.
Shravanam, kirtanam, Vishnu smaranam, pada sevanam, archanam, vandanam, dasyam, sakyam, atma nivedanam. Yeah, all right, I guess that doesn't have to be translated into Telugu. So that's astonishing, isn't it?
అది చాలా విచిత్రమైంది అవునా కదా.
Or in other words, the prayer is to come to the actual standard of bhakti and not to remain forever on the platform of sadhana.
ఇక్కడ ప్రార్థన ఏమిటంటే సాధన స్థితిలో ఉండకుండా నిజమైన భక్తి స్థితిలోకి రావడం అనేది ఇక్కడ ప్రార్థన.
We can't artificially become spiritually perfect. But we should know that that is the goal. We don't find Mother Yashoda gets up in the morning and, oh, I have to chant my rounds. She doesn't say that. Radharani comes late to the Rasalila and she said that, well, I came late because I was behind on my rounds. I had to chant a few extra rounds. We don't hear any such thing. We don't find that they're doing any sadhana. They're just completely perfect already. So we shouldn't imitate that. But we should know that the goal is ultimately to come to the spontaneous level. Where Shravanam, Kirtanam, all these processes, they become natural. Just like we don't think about breathing. Since we've been sitting in this class, we've all breathed we've taken so many breaths, isn't it? But we didn't think about breathing. We didn't think, like, move the diaphragm up, and then let it down again, let some air in. We don't think like that. It just goes on automatically. So when remembrance of Krishna goes on automatically, that is the perfection of life. Of course, we're not really conscious of breathing, but Krishna consciousness means to be always conscious of Krishna. So, what if Krishna were to come? And what if Krishna were to offer? Well, Krishna comes and says, you want moksha? I'll give you moksha. You want moksha? Okay, I'll take you to Vaikuntha. The devotee is, he's praying no. Even if you personally tell me that I'll give you these things, I only want that your childhood pastimes should ever be manifested in my heart. This is the prayer here. That although some people may consider moksha or material boons or going to Vaikuntha the goal of life, for myself, the devotee prays, now that I've had some inclination toward your Vrindavan Leela, I cannot be satisfied with anything else. Whatever else you offer, even going to Vaikuntha, I cannot be satisfied. That will seem rather distasteful to me. Distasteful, aruchika. And not really, cannot really be happy there. Sanatana Goswami, who's providing this commentary, he also, among his famous works, his writings, is the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, where it's described how Gopakumar, he gradually goes from one level to another. He goes up through the different planets and eventually comes up to this. He goes from to higher planets, then eventually comes to Vaikuntha. But wherever he goes, he doesn't feel satisfied. Because his constitutional position is as a cowherd boy in Vrindavan. So when he went to Vaikuntha, even there, he felt it's not really the right place here. When he first had darshan of Lord Narayana with his beautiful blackish form, just like his own Krishna, Gopakumar ran to embrace Vaikunthanath. But the guard stopped him. Hey, what are you doing? Grabbed him both. You can't do that here. It's a serious offense. Don't ever do that again. My Lord, I want to embrace you. But they won't let me. In Vaikuntha, that's not allowed. You can offer prayers with a very grave face. Smiling is allowed, but not hysterical laughter. And embracing the Lord, that's definitely not allowed. So devotee who has a taste for the bliss of Krishna's Vrindavan Leela, they cannot be satisfied even in Vaikuntha. So our preaching in the Krishna conscious movement is aimed at completely spoiling everyone's life. That whatever you get, you'll be totally dissatisfied. Unless and until we attain the state of pure devotion to Krishna in Vrindavan. So people say that we're not ambitious. We should be try and be a success and get a lot of money. Actually, we're very ambitious. Our aim is to get a position. Far bigger than any Birla or Tata or Ambani. Or Bin Laden. He's also a big man.
Bin Laden.
We're positioned much bigger than Einstein. Or Obama.
Obama.
Who else is there? A position bigger than who's famous Telugu film star? Bigger than Chiranjeev, the film star. Or Amitabh Bachchan. In Andhra, they don't care for him, but in North India, he's greater than God, it seems, to many people. Sachin. The great Sachin. We want a bigger position than all of these people. What position can we be aspiring for? If we can become a blade of grass or a piece of dust in Vrindavan, that is a bigger position than anything in the material world or even in Vaikuntha. So we go to Krishna and we pray, please make me less than a blade of grass. Trinada pi suni chena tarariva sahishnara amanina amanadena kirtaniya sadaharihi. This is our prayer. So if materialistic people hear this, they'll think we are mad. Very good. If ordinary people think that we are mad, that means we're making a lot of progress. There's one prayer of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He's praying for the mercy of his guru. Gurudev kabe tava karuna prakashe. And he's describing what will be the results of your mercy upon me. So the last line of the song, he's described like the topmost mercy you can get from your guru. So what is that? He says, Bishoi amake pagala balaya ongete dibeka dhuli. That the best perfection will be that the materialistic people call me mad and they throw dust at me, dirt at me in disgust. So we have a different perspective to that of most people. We see that Sanatana Goswami, he wrote this song, he wrote this commentary. He himself was exactly like that. Jagtva turna matresha mandala pati shri ning sada tuchavat. Like the other six Goswamis, the others of the six Goswamis, he came from a very aristocratic background. He was one of the most powerful men in India. But he left it all. In the Bhagavatam, that example is given of Jarabharat. He was also a great king. So he left all his power, prestige, kingdom, everything. Just like you leave after you pass stool, you leave it. You know, you don't keep it and put it on an altar. You just leave it, that's all. So Sanatana Goswami, he left all of that. Just insignificant. భూద్వా దీన గణేశ కో కరుణయ కుపీన కంఠాశ్రిత. And then becoming, taking a very lowly position or humble position. He was immensely wealthy and prestigious, but he only had Kopin, Kamandalu, and this Kanta. This is Kantimala. Kanta means you have the old cloth, and you keep the old cloth, and you sew it up, and you make one quilt. You don't have that? You don't have that word?
Kanta ante bunta, bunta lanti de okkada.
Bunta, bunta, you call it bunta. His kanta is there. They don't do that here in the village? No. They still do that, no. I saw it's very common in Bangladesh. They do that. Nowadays you just throw everything away. So that's what they had. That were the three kas. Kopin, Kanta, Kamandalu.
Kopin, Kamandalu, Kanta, Yimule, Vardhakundamadagiru.
And Krishna.
Vishnu.
Gopi Bhavar Samritabdala Hari Kalola Magno Muhur Bande Rupa Sanatana Raguya Goshri Jiva Gopalako. We offer obeisance to the six Goswamis because they were always repeatedly surfacing and diving in the waves of Gopi Bhava Rasamritabdi, in the ocean of Gopi Bhava Rasamrita. And if you have that, then what do you want a PhD for? What do you want a big house and gold and diamonds? It's like decorating, it's like putting some decoration on some stool or something. It's a very nice stool, let's put some decoration. What is this material life? It's just decorating a dead body, that's all. Bhagavad Bhakti Hinasya Jati Shastra Chapastapaha Apranas Yaiva Dehasya Mandanam Loka Ranjanam. That for one who does not have Hari Bhakti, then everything is just like decorating a dead body. You're like a zombie, well-decorated zombie. So you may be a very high-class zombie, Brahmin zombie. Or you may be a very learned, you can speak so much Shastra. You may be a big sadhu doing a lot of japa. A lot of tapasya. But without Hari Bhakti, it's all useless. So, that's all. We just want pure devotional service, that's all. Nothing else is of any value. Hare Krishna!